I'm going to speak to you this morning about faith speak, or the language of faith. It is something that I've learned in this, especially in this year. It's something that has grown upon me the last all my saved life. But in the last couple of months, I came to to word it, if I can say that. I came to put words to it. I hope it blesses you. If you take this word today, it will really change your life. You will not be the same. I'm trying to give you some keys. I will throw keys at you. So this word is not only to be heard, it's to be acted upon. Amen? We can't just grow fat cats and do nothing. We need to hear and do. That is the gospel message, okay? Unfortunately, in the Western church, we tend to want to hear always. We want to just hear, hear, and hear and become wiser and chase knowledge. But we must chase the person, not knowledge. We must chase Jesus Christ and pursue a relationship with Him. And then that will activate you to step out in faith, to step over that chicken line, and to go for God and to see the kingdom come. Amen? So are you ready? Let's shake our neighbors. Tell the person next to you, I love your smile. And did you brush your teeth this morning? Just ask them. It is holiday, so just checking. Just checking. Okay, cool. And those who prayed for the Springboks yesterday, thank God. Something happened. Our prayers were answered, eh? And we speak just more of that to continue. Okay. Open your Bibles with me to Matthew chapter 8. I will try to be quick, and then we can worship again and have some coffee at the end and some tea and some fellowship and some prayers. But Matthew chapter 8 is the story where Jesus comes after the mount, after the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 5 to 7. He gave the greatest sermon ever. He came to say, listen, you heard it was said, but I say to you, Jesus making himself equal with God because he is the Son of God, putting his word on the same level as God's, because he knew he was God. So, and here in chapter 8, Jesus comes down the mountain, and he starts with the story. He says, now when Jesus has entered Capernaum, a centurion came after him, pleading with him, saying, Lord, 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 my servant is lying at home, paralyzed. He's very sick, dreadfully tormented. And Jesus said to him, I will come and heal him. Senor later, ek is besig. No, he didn't say that. I will come and heal him. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I'm not worthy that you should come under my roof or come to my house, but only speak a word and my servant will be healed. For I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say to this one, go, and he goes, and to another, come, and he comes. And to my servant, do this, and he does it. When Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to those who followed, surely, just stop the bus for a moment here, guys. I have not found such great faith, even in Israel. In all my journeys the last few months, years, I haven't found such great faith in anybody. Verse 13, Jesus said, then Jesus said to the centurion, go your way, and as you have believed, so let it be done for you. And my servant, and his servant was healed that very same hour. Powerful story, eh? And here we see, guys, a story of a man who had a problem. A man who had a crisis in his life. It can't be, this was his servant. Maybe you're in your life having a current issue that you're battling with. Maybe a sickness, maybe a disease, maybe a business deal. Maybe something that is staring you in the face. Like this man, he had a problem. But this man, funny enough, he was different than all of the rest. He understood the power of faithful declarations. And the thing that stuck with me is, not that this man's faith so much, but was the fact that his revelation of this, the power of God's word, amazed Jesus. It took Jesus by surprise. And in verse 8, you can read, it says there, Jesus says, he says, but only speak your word and my servant will be healed. Jesus told him, listen, I will come later. I'm just walking there. But Jesus, he says, no, Lord, just speak your word. So this man understood the power of God's word, the power of faithful declarations, speaking God's word. And Jesus was so taken back by this man's revelation that he says in verse 15, he says, most assuredly I say to you, I haven't heard so much faith in all the world. God says, he marveled. He was like, what? This is like gold on a rubbish dump. This was amazing. And so from the story, we can see that faith has a language. And that language needs to be spoken. And I believe that this is a key for us, especially with what I see in South Africa in the church. And I was at the prayer day last week, and just something that stood out with me, that
When we ask people to pray, they chat to one another. And they look around and they stare at the mountain and the bush and they talk to their kids. There's something that we as a church has lost in this regard. We've lost the language of faith, what this man understood, a language that needs to be spoken. All of us speak every day thousands of words. I'm going to submit to you, ladies, more than men. But we speak, we hear, we're in a dialogue the whole time. Amen? But there's a place where your faith must also be spoken. You know, faith that is spoken and heard is powerful. The story showed us. Verse 13, Jesus said, listen, you go, as you have believed, your son, your servant will be healed. It's powerful. But faith which is not spoken and not heard is many times for me like a check without a signature. It's got a lot of potential, but it's got no power and authority to change anything. A lot of our lives are like that. We've got all the faith in God, but we've never learned to speak it, to verbalize it, to vocalize it. And God wants to give us that key this morning as we are pursuing Him in that manner. As we want to see His kingdom come upon the earth here, we need to start speaking the language of faith. Amen? And that's so important, which this guy here showed us. And Paul also echoed this. He says in Romans 10, he says, but what does it say? The word is near you. It is where? In your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we proclaim. Because if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and you believe in your heart that He raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. Guys, words in the kingdom are so powerful. It brings to us the reality of salvation. It's the faith. A lot of African people have got faith in God. But God is saying you must also confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus. Then you will be saved. Then salvation will come to your house. Amen? 2 Corinthians 4, Paul also says, and since we have the same faith, according to what is written, I believe and therefore I spoke. We also believe and therefore we speak. Now the context of the story was Paul is writing his letter of defense to the Roman church about his authority as apostle. And verses before that he said, listen, we are shipwrecked, we are persecuted, but we will not die. We are hit and killed, but we will just keep on. And he says, but something we're going to do, we're going to keep our confession the same. We believe and therefore we spoke. Our circumstances must not change our confession. But it does. Because our eyes maybe are not focused on the Lord all the times. So our faith needs to talk. Our faith has got a language and our checks need signatures. So it can release the power of God. An interesting scripture is found here in Hebrews chapter 3. It says, therefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and the high priest of our confession, Jesus Christ. Jesus is the high priest of your confession. And the word confession in the Greek is the word homogalia. And the word consists of two words. It's because homos, which means the same as, and logia means the same as word or the same word as. So what it literally means, it means that that our confession needs to be the same as our high priest's confession. Or the same as the word of God's. God is saying, you must speak the same word which He is speaking. Homogalia. Speaking the same word what His high priest, Jesus Christ, is speaking. Now Jesus, we all know, is the high priest. Our faith is all about speaking out what we believe. Guys, I want to say it again, it needs to be heard. So when I talk today about you further on, about declaring God's word, what it simply means, and if you want to look for a definition, here it is. It simply means to agree with what God had already said in His word and to intentionally say what He says. Homogalia. To take God's word and to go and say what He says intentionally. And that today is a key word for you about declarations and speaking God's word. You are many times not going to feel like saying God's word or praying the word of the Lord. It needs to be intentional. You will need to make a choice to speak life over your circumstances. Amen? Are you guys following me? We are just warming up. And so, and when we do that, we are releasing faith through our words. And then the impossible become the possible. Faith is released throughout your words. It must be in your heart, yes, but it will also be confessed out of your mouth unto salvation. It needs to be verbalized this morning. That's what you need to be verbalized. It needs to be said. Now, the reason why declarations and confessing God's word is so important, and why Jesus is the high priest of our confession, is, number one, because we are called to imitate God. We are called to imitate God.
Ephesians 5 says, Paul, he says, therefore, be imitators of God. And the Amplified says, copy him and follow his example, as well as well-beloved children imitate their father.
Isn't this a beautiful picture? We are to imitate our daddy. All of our children, we do what our parents does. If they do this, we do that. You know, my daughter's the same. She will say the things I say, do the things Carmen does. It's amazing how that happens. That doesn't need supernatural ministry. That is just how life is. They copy us. And God is saying to us, here, listen here, please follow my example. And I want to ask you this morning, what is the example that God set for us about the word of faith?
The answer is in Genesis chapter 1. It says, the earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep. And the Spirit of the Lord was hovering over the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light. And there was light.
Guys, God did not think this planet into existence. He did not dream this into existence. What did he do? He spoke it into existence. And we as the children of God need to follow our daddy's example. I want to submit to you, there's a truth that says, if something happens, something was spoken. God said, let there be, and there was. He spoke this reality into life. In actual fact, Hebrews says to us that the whole world we got is framed by the power of His Word. Everything we see and know is upheld by the power of His Word. God has spoken, and that Word cannot be void. It's carrying on and creating and keeping us all alive. So powerful is the Word of the spoken Word of God. Amen?
So the example that we as children just need to copy and to paste into our faith is, because God spoke, we need to speak. Amen? And funny enough to me, Jesus as our high priest, Jesus as our example in the faith, as our model for Christianity, He also followed this example. You know, the most amazing thing to me, in Luke chapter 4, Jesus started His ministry with a proclamation. He says, look, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He's anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, to heal the sick, to bring liberty to captives. Before He did anything, He spoke the word. Powerful, eh? The apostles, the prophets, all spoke the word of God before. Acts chapter 3, when Peter and Paul walked in the temple, what did they do when they saw the lame man? Listen here, we don't have money, but stand up in the name of Jesus and walk. They spoke to their circumstances. They released. Because they believed, they spoke, Paul said. Elijah said, listen here, at my word, it will not rain again for 3 years. The prophet spoke. And what amazes me as the example of us as Christians is the first job assignment God gave to Adam. What did He tell Adam? Adam, you go and name all the animals. Wow. Adam had to speak the names of each animal into being. And that is the first picture of us co-laboring with God, guys. When you start to speak your faith, you are actually co-laboring with God to bring heaven down on earth. The Bible says all the promises of God is yes and amen in Christ Jesus. God is just waiting for your amen upon earth because He's already spoken His amen in heaven. Jesus is His amen. He's waiting for your amen to agree with His word, to confess, to homologate, to say the same as He is saying. Amen? So let's copy and paste and follow that example. Let's co-labor with God. The reason why this is so powerful, guys, is because God and Satan both need our words to fulfill their wills upon the earth. Do you know that? The enemy wants your word as well. He wants your confession as well. And He loves it for you to curse yourself, to speak negative things over yourself. I cannot. I don't know how. I'm a failure. I'm never good enough. It's going on, and He loves to bind you into that place. And because He likes to, that the devil in past, I'm not so old, Mary will know what I'm saying here, but in the past, the word of faith has been knocked a lot because the enemy loves to take God's truths and pervert them and give them mocking slogans like name it and claim it, name it and frame it. And guys, that is not what I'm saying this morning.
That's the enemy want to take a powerful truth of God, because he knows when we can speak God's word, we can create with God. Life happens. But he will revert that, so we become negative and we start to speak actually his will into being. What did Jesus do when the enemy came to him? He didn't dream about him or go to sleep. No, no. He said, Satan, it is written. Satan, it is written. Satan, it is written. He spoke God's word. You see, guys, you cannot get yourself out of the wilderness by just thinking it out. You need to speak yourself out of your wilderness. This morning, whatever situation you're facing, your life's going to start changing by start to speaking God's word. You see, James 3 says the tongue is like a rudder of a ship. It moves a ship. Maybe you are facing a difficult situation and you need to start to speak life. So you need to say the same things as Jesus said. Then your life will start to turn, and eventually your experience will follow up with the truth you are proclaiming. Turn your life's direction. So we as the people of God have the privilege of imitating God as his children by speaking intentionally into situations that needs a word that will change everything. And this morning when I was preparing, I really believe that as the Bible says in Genesis chapter 1, I believe the Holy Spirit this morning is hovering over people's lives here. He's hovering over chaotic areas in your life. He's hovering over hopeless situations in your life. He's hovering over a business deal that needs to be closed. He's hovering over a child that is disobedient. He's hanging over such people that want to get pregnant. He's hanging over sickness in your life, and he wants to bring order. But the only thing he needs is the spoken word of God to work with. Let there be light, God said. And there was light. The Holy Spirit, guys, is here to bring order, to bring life when we speak God's word into our situations. Amen? He is close. He is near. So let's speak intentionally this morning. The second reason why declarations are important for us is because life is in the power of the tongue. We all know the scripture, Proverbs 18 says, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. All of us know the scripture, but I want to tell you guys, as a Christian, this is one of the biggest revelations you can ever get from God. That the tongue has power to release life wherever it goes. This is a life and death word I'm giving you. And the truth is, if we really believe this word from the bottom of our hearts, think about this, we will start to speak more intentionally. Because we know and believe that my words is life. It's powerful. And the Bible says, you will eat the fruit of your past declarations. That means you are experiencing something now which the seed you've planted many months ago. Sowing and reaping. That's what's happening here. But we, many times, because as Africans, I say it again, we are a very pessimistic nation. We are very negative inclined about things. And we speak a lot of negative things, not from the heart of God always. And then we sit with situations which manifest in our lives, and we don't know where it comes from. Let me tell you where it comes from. Your words, which you've spoken months and years ago. And today, God was to say, oh, stop the bus. Repent and start all over. You can start to sow good seeds which will produce a beautiful harvest in your life. Amen? Life is in the power of your tongue. You can change situations, speaking life into it. So based on the scripture, I want to say this morning, I see that there is no silent type of Christians in the kingdom anymore. Amen? I think religion has got so hold of us, it has so closed our mouths to think that piety is godliness. Morning. Praise God, it's good. We come to church, we must sing and praise God. It's like, so hard to lift my hands and praise God. Guys, we need to shake off the spirit of religion. God wants to put praise in our mouths, to declare his name, to speak faith out into the atmosphere. And the Holy Spirit is waiting for those words to create, to start working and bringing miracles into situations. Amen? We all are meant to speak life and to enjoy the fruit of our lips. I once heard of this experiment a man did in Singapore.
He was a botanist, and he had plants he worked with, and he was a big, wealthy guy. But he had this one batch of plants, which I don't know what it was. The article didn't say, but he had this huge area of plants which did not took the fertilizers, and it did not grow, and he put more sunlight upon it, and more this, and more, you know, ant killers, and all these, you know, gogakies, insect doders. And he went to church there, and he got the same message I'm speaking of, that his faith needs to be, his faith has got language. He needs to speak life. Life is in the tongue. He said, listen here, I'm going to try this. And he took God's word, and he started to speak to those area of plants for 14 or 15 days. Every day, he says, listen here, good morning, my plants. God loves you. I love you. You will live and not die in Jesus' name. You will grow. You will prosper. Wah, 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 wah. Did it every morning, every night. And by day 14 or 15, he was like thrown head over heels. And he started to see little green leaves starting to pop out of all the roots. He didn't give them more food or nothing. He started to speak life over him. He ran back to church. He said, guys, I want to just testify to the fact that this word, my word, has got life in it. I can release it. I can speak life wherever I go. God's word in my mouth is powerful. And isn't that glorious? And guys, I remind you, our words are extremely powerful. Your words have got great, amazing creative potential to bring life or death in situations. Check what you are saying. Check what you are saying. Not only is your word powerful, but God's word in your mouth is powerful. Homogalia, start to confess what God is saying. Reinhard Bonnke tells a story, which I've also read one of his books, when he was a young man starting off his ministry works in Africa. He was a great evangelist. For those who don't know him, he's retired now. But he spoke a story which for me is like, just so drives the point home. It's a story where he was, I think, in Lesotho, and he was putting up one of his first or second crusades. And he was organizing it. He wasn't preaching that day, and they had the band there singing. And in that time, his phone rings, and like, and this guy from America or wherever says, listen, yeah, my plane is delayed. I can't make it. And he's like, God! Like we all do, must I not preach, whatever, and he thinks, but, you know, I cannot preach. He went and he speak, and he prayed, and he was in a crisis, and he was due to go up, and the Lord said to him, Reinhard, don't you worry, you just go and speak my word, because my word in your mouth is as powerful as my word in my mouth. He went up the stage, and he just went and declared and preached God's gospel, and the rest is history. Millions of people got saved through Reinhard Bonnke's ministry, Christ for all nations. God told him, Reinhard, that my word in your mouth is as powerful as my word in my own mouth. You just go and speak what I'm saying. Confession, homogalia. Say what I'm saying. Say what I'm saying, church. Jesus is your high priest. Say what he is saying. Say what he is saying. We are called to imitate our Father. And every time you speak God's word, you are tapping into limitless power. You're tapping into unlimited resources of heaven. The Holy Spirit is waiting to be impregnated with that word you speak and to birth new things into this earth. Guys, the best is yet to come for us. Amen? God wants to release creative ideas into our minds. There's things that needs to come into this planet. Which no eye has seen, no ear has heard. God wants to bring it through the power of the Holy Spirit. So I just release revelation over you. Understanding and insight into godly and amazing things. Business people, I release solutions over you which you know but has never seen. Let's trust God for those things. You see, Jeremiah, I think 23 says, the word of God is like a hammer. His word is like a hammer, guys. If you start to speak that, it starts to hammer against your obstacles. Start to break down things that stands in your way. Start to speak God's word. Release the anointing of the hammer in your life. Trust Him for that. Hebrews 11 says, the word of God is alive and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. Isn't that glorious? So I want to encourage us today, guys. Don't think of your prayer time only as a time where you come and pray about your needs and your wants. That is 100% correct. Please go on with that. But that's not all that prayer is about. Prayer is also about the place that you come into agreement with God, what He's already said about things in this world, and start releasing your faith into that by speaking that word. Amen? So petitions is wonderful.
Ask God for the things. Supplications is beautiful. We must do that. But God wants to put us into a new level of His glory where we start to speak as He is speaking. He's put us in heavenly places with Christ Jesus to reign and to rule them. We don't work from defeat. We work from victory. We speak from above. In humility, obviously. But see yourself seated with Christ, releasing His powerful word as you say what He is saying. Amen? Let's imitate the Father. Your daddy. Let's do what he's doing. You still with me?
Yeah. And the last thing that declarations help me with, I can say so much, but I just want to highlight this one. Declarations will help you to build your faith and to renew your mind. I want to say thank you for Tracy for the beautiful word God has been saying to us this morning. He wants our minds. He wants to renew our thoughts. Guys, this morning God want to give you a tip, a key, how to renew your mind. We don't think like God naturally. We need a renewal of the mind. Romans 12 says, do not be conformed to this world. Don't think like this world, because you're saved. You came out of this world. But be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God.
Now I want to tell you one of the testimonies of my life is the fact, is the whole essence of speaking truth of your life. When I was a student, look, I came out of a bad family, a bad past. I got saved, black and white moment. It was like, yeah, glorious. But I had a lot of baggage, which I carried with me into the kingdom, in my thoughts and in the way I did things. So I had to intentionally take God's word and speak it over my life. I remember still, I made little cards. I wrote out scriptures. I put it on my steering wheel of my car, above the radio, on the fridge, everywhere. I must just see it, and that day I just spoke. It was in my pockets at university. I read it, and I say it. I read it, and I say it. By that, you are actually meditating on God's word. You're getting it into your system. You're getting it into your brain, and you're reprogramming yourself with the truth. And I did that for years and years and years. And I remember, maybe this is for somebody here, I especially did it with the area of lust for men. Look, you're walking on university in summer, and there's just ladies with short dresses, and like, God, where do you look? What do you do? You're like, oh. That was actually so God-given for me, because that delivered me from actually being tempted by the flesh. I had to look at Scripture. It was so awesome. And God brought in my life freedom and deliverance and total healing by just renewing my mind. And He says, your life will be transformed. You will be totally new when you do that. So guys, the Word of God isn't going to come into your mind renewing the mind does not happen by osmosis. Do you know that? Yeah. It is intentional taking God's Word and speaking it over your life. Please hear me this morning. That's what happened to me. And Jesus, like I said earlier, used this tactic himself. He also spoke the Word of God against the enemy. When Satan came to lie about his identity, he said, no, Satan, it is written, I am the Son of God. You will not tempt the Lord your God. He will come and lie to you. But you need to have the Word of God in your heart. And the funny thing is, when you do that, when you start to make declarations and activating your faith and speaking the language of faith, do you know what happens by default? You also build up your faith. Did you know that? That's awesome. It's a two-in-one. It's a double barrel tackle like the Springboks love to do. Bah. Romans 10 says, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Guys, we know these scriptures, but it's so crucial. They are so powerful. Let me ask you a question. Does the scripture here say faith comes by having heard? What does it say? By hearing. That implies what are you hearing now? What is God speaking to you? I find myself, when I'm very dry and very, you know, not so excited about the Lord, I always want to hear what God has said to me. And then my faith is very weak and lame in a certain sense. But I want to ask you, when God speaks to you, who of you are strong in that moment? Who of you are excited in the moment? Who of you got hope and faith to change the world? When you are hearing the word of God, faith is being stirred and built into your life. Let me tell you something. What? When you do declarations, you are actually speaking God's truth over yourself. And what is happening? You are hearing with your own ears what? Truth. And when you hear truth in your own ears, you are doing what? You're building up yourself in your faith. So it's a wonderful exercise to build yourself up in the faith of the Lord. So you can determine how much faith is built up in you by how much you declare. Amen? Speak God's word, I beg you. Speak it over yourself to renew your mind. It will do that because the truth will set you free, God says. This morning we sang and we sang and we sang about freedom and freedom and freedom. It's for freedom that Christ has set us all free. Let me ask you a question. Why do you think, I've heard this complaint in church, not here, other churches. Yaku, why do we sing certain phrases over and over again? Can't we just sing once and carry on? It's so boring. You know what? That's exactly what God wants. Because the scriptures, the songwriters are inspired by the Holy Spirit, we hope and we pray, that they will that they will cause us to sing scripture, truth. And by us singing it over and over again, what is happening? We are speaking out the scripture and then we are renewing our minds. And a lot of new possibilities and realities becomes available to us because our minds are being renewed. This morning we sang about Jesus Christ is risen and he's Lord and he's alive. Many of us don't read the Bible in the week, so we don't know these things, but we come to church, even the songs start to minister to us. Amen? So, Carmelite band, please sing, repeat more phrases to us, please. Let's hang on those bridges. Let's hang on those cords. It's truth that will set us free as we allow it to wash over us. Amen? We cannot get enough of God's word. It is alive and powerful, guys. And then just on faith, I want to share with you just two very important principles. Please write this down regarding declarations. Because you need to take this word home and start this afternoon or tomorrow morning in your quiet time and start not only to read Bible, but say, oh God, this word is amazing. I don't agree with a bit of fear, but of love, power, and a sound mind. You need to reword the words and say it back to God. The first principle, very important, is when you're going to declare something, you must speak it because you believe it. Faith is of the essence here. Hebrews 11:6 says, it is impossible to please God without faith. Guys, you please God, but when you're going to declare something, it needs to be mixed with faith. Empty words is not going to help you. To make like a parrot with no belief in your heart will not change anything. Amen? It needs to be mixed with faith. You know, and just remember, faith is not denying the negative facts in your life. Faith is not blindness, and I'm going to ignore these issues in my life, and I'm going to just speak God's word. No, faith is focusing on the higher reality of God's word and His promises for your life, and tapping into that and pulling heaven down to earth. God's amen is said. He needs your amen about the situation. It's a co-laboring with Christ upon the earth. Amen. And Jesus refers to this when he says in Mark 11, he says, have faith in God, Peter. He's speaking to Peter. He says, for surely I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things that he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. And please note here, the scripture refers three times that faith needs to be spoken. Faith is going to lay. He says, please, whoever says to this mountain, but believes in those things he says will be done. He will have whatever he says. Faith speaks. Speaks to mountains. Speaks to circumstances. Speaks to difficult situations in your life. Faith speaks. And I want to ask you, who is the man who can remove mountains? What does the scripture say? Who is the person that can remove a mountain? They say God. Yeah, you can also remove mountains. You can. Obviously, you can. The Bible says here, the man who has faith in God. But that's not all he says. Listen to this. Very, very, very important. The truth behind the truth here is the following. He says also, yes, the man that has faith, but it is also the person who believes what he says will be done. He can remove mountains when he speaks. You see, it's the koppeling van geloof and wat jy sê gaan gedoen word. It's not saying and then like you say, it's doubting in your heart. You will never get anything from God when you speak and you doubt. Faith is that conviction of the things not seen, the evidence of things not seen. It's the conviction of the absolute knowing that this is what God is saying. And you're speaking that out and you know as you speak it, it will be answered. Because faith pleases God. Amen? So guys, you're not going to feel like it. It's not going to look in the natural, the greatest opportunity to speak. But I'm going to tell you, do it in faith. and speak God's words and see what happens. Your mountains can be moved. That's God's promise. Amen? You see, and when we do that, and we speak with faith, power is released. And something else, angels are set on assignment to go and fulfill that word of God. We must not work with angels, and they are there to weaken God's word. Hello, who's speaking God's word? Who's confessing? Who's homogalian? He's waiting for the word of the Lord to be released so they can go and fulfill that God-given word. Some of you have got unsaved people. Angels are waiting for the word of God to go and work on their hearts. You need to release God's word. The second principle regarding the grace, and the first one is it must be with faith. Empty words with nothing. Second one is it must be according to God's will. 1 John 5 says, and this is the confidence that we have towards Him, God, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. What an awesome scripture. Amen? It's like, oh, so comforting. And if we know that He hears us, in whatever we ask, we know that we have the request that we have asked of Him. Guys, faith needs to speak, but we cannot just declare anything and everything that comes to mind and expect God to answer it. Obviously. And I think that is where, Mario, that's where the name it and claim it movement have abused this whole thing. They've taken it to the extreme on this side and just thrown out everything and say that God will do it. It must be according to His will. You say, for instance, I can't declare, Lord, I want 7 golf sets, one day, one for every month, one for every weekend to go and play a new game. I can't confess, Lord, I declare in Jesus' name, you're going to give me $1 million just to go on a nice this or that, you know, just for myself. No. It must be according to God's will and plan for your life and for His life. So our declarations must be according to His will, and His will is found in His word, the Bible. The Bible is the word of God. Speak the words of God. They are still inspired of God. They're still alive to God today and waiting for you to agree with Him. Let's agree with heaven. Amen? So guys, this means that it's vital, vital, vitally important, and what Tracy said, that you start to get to know the Scriptures. Please don't miss Bible school next year. Please come. You will learn so much. Not that we know anything. It's just the Bible is so rich to teach us so many things. And it is the truth. But you need to know the Word. And you need to know what the Word says about specific areas of this life. And then when you know that, you need to formulate words of your own and speak that words into being. You can either quote Scripture like it is, or you can formulate the truth in your own words, which is easier for you, and then say that. I've been doing it the last few months, and it's so refreshing to and builds me when I start speaking those truths out. Amen? We'll do the same for you. Know the truth. Now I want to tell a story of incidents which happened, which a friend of mine told me, just about the importance of knowing Scripture, because you will never know when you're going to need that ammo in a given situation. One of my friends, I know Rufy, you know Pastor William, old pastor from Shofar, one of my mentors in the faith, and he shared a story where one Saturday he was, and his wife went to the mall in Cape Town somewhere, and they went to shop, you know, up in the aisle, down in the aisle, and the kids were in the trolleys, and his wife went in front, and his boy, I think Brett, was with him. And they were going, and there's, you know, in the mall, they've got these latches, you know, where the concrete comes together. And he pushed the trolley, and the trolley bumped, and his son was sitting on the edge, and he flipped backwards out of the trolley, and he fell on his head. Eyes rolled back, tongue went out, and he was unconscious. And he's like, yeah, like any parent does, and he screams, and, you know, I don't know, push the button. Or, you know, it was just chaos. Got the medics in there, and they tried to resuscitate him, and after like 1 or 2 or 3 minutes, he's like, He's in a desperate situation. And in a desperate situation, the word of the Lord came to him. Psalm 118, verse 17. Your son will not die, William, but live and declare the work of the Lord. And he thought to myself, okay. And he had the word of faith in his heart, and he started to speak that over his son. Ba, 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 ba. And I think over the 4th or 5th time, his son's eyes rolled back. And he sat up, and obviously they gave him water. And to this day, he's fine. He's got a degree at Tigerberg. Beautiful new boy. I'm going to tell you, if William did not have the Scripture in his heart, he would have never been able to pull it out of his heart and speak it word out into being. Guys, you need to have the word buried in your spirit. You will never know when a situation comes to speak that over yourself or over somebody else. Read, meditate, mull it over, chew it over, say it to yourself over and over and over again. I can tell you how many times I'm praying and then I'm just saying scriptures because years ago I've put it in my heart. And my spirit is alive. It cannot sleep. It's always alive. So God is renewing and working us. So He's waiting for you to speak that word. It must be according to His will. Must be. So know the scriptures and speak them. So to conclude, and the band can come up, we're going to worship like at the end. I want to end with a story again. I've got a lot of stories today, but you know, it's so real to me and to other people. But the story I want to tell, just that sums up this whole idea of this morning. There's something I read in this last week about a pastor's couple in the States. And the lady tells a story where she felt for a season to just start to intercede, you know, for a church and that. But she felt especially going to do that at night at the church building, which is private and nobody can see her. And she just walks up and down at night and the kids are in bed and her husband is at home. And she just goes. And she tells a story of where she was praying for a lot of things. And then every night she just got this urge in her spirit to speak the word, to cry out the word, freedom. And she walks, she prays, and she just went, freedom! Freedom! Look around. Nobody saw her. Nobody heard her. It's at night. They're sleeping. There's only dogs and angels with her. And the funny thing she says, after about 3 months of doing this every single night, they had a guest speaker coming to the church, worshiping and having all the nice things going on there. And she tells a story that when the guy walks up to the podium and he says, hi, good morning, he says, the moment when he walked into the doors, he got this word in his spirit, freedom. And he doesn't know why. And he went this morning and he said, listen, oh, the Holy Spirit wants to bring freedom. And he started prophesying and speaking things about freedom over the church. Which this lady has, months ago, started to pray and declare over that town and the church. He had no clue of what she was praying. It was only God and herself. But somehow he picked it up in the spirit. And guys, when I heard this, I was reminded of this beautiful scripture. Isaiah 55 says, so shall my word be that goes out of my mouth or out of your mouth this morning. It shall not return to me empty or void, but it shall accomplish that which I purpose according to his will, and it shall succeed in the things which I send it to do. God's word cannot return void. And I want to encourage you this morning, church, please speak God's word over your life. Speak it over your children, parents. Speak it over your grandchildren. Speak it over your businesses. Speak it over your finances. Speak it over your meetings at work. Speak it over South Africa. Speak it over this town. But speak God's word. Amen? You see, the words we are speaking are seeds, Tracy said as well. It are seeds we are sowing into our future. And we all want to reap abundant harvest of good fruits. I mean, we don't want to have thorns and thistles coming up all the way. No, we want to eat the fruits of God, the life of God. But let's start praying and asking and declaring God's word over ourselves. Amen. Because the word of God, the Bible says, is a seed, and that seed carries within it the power to fulfill what it will send to go and do out. God's will cannot return void. He said, let there be light, and there is still to this day light. Think of that word. It's awesome. Let's be like Adam and start to co-labor with Jesus Christ. He's waiting for your amen. The Holy Spirit is hovering over your lives, over circumstances, over hopelessness in your life. He's waiting for your word. You be the prophet in your own life. Don't wait for somebody else to pray for you. Be the prophet in your own house, of your own circumstances, and speak God's word. Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for your son, Jesus, Lord. We love you. We adore you, God. This morning, we want to lift up just a song of worship to you and just declare your greatness, Lord, and for the fact that you are with us, that you will never leave us nor forsake us, Father. And this morning, we just thank you, Father, for the privilege of being your children, that we can imitate you and look to you and say, Daddy, 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 you're so beautiful. Can I also play with my words? Can I also play with you, Father? And this morning, God, I see because of you encouraging us to just play with the toys that God has given us. Thank you for the freedom that you give us just to exercise and take a risk and speak things into being. Father, I declare that the best is yet to come for everybody here. I declare to God that that people will start to feel and experience you reviving them again, God. As they step up out into faith, God. Thank you, Lord, that people will start to love your word and allow it to wash and to renew them in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name.